Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com.
Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/outnowpodcast.
Over 150,000 titles to choose from for your Android, iPhone, Kindle, or MP3 player.
This week on Out Now with Aaron and Abe, we're discussing the winners for the 88th Academy Awards.
Aaron, again, who the heck is that?
Who? She's here. She's great. I don't know what to say.
All right, I guess we'll keep her on the payroll.
You guys have a payroll? You didn't tell me.
Wait a minute. I forgot my introduction.
We are now recording, and this is Out Now with Aaron and Abe. I am Aaron, and as always, this is...
Abe, hello. Hi.
Out Now is a film podcast where Abe and I discuss new movies weekly. However, this is the second part of our special Oscar bonus episodes for this
year. Out of a three-parter.
Yeah, for 2016. We're literally recording just after the Oscars have ended, the 88th Academy Awards. We just saw a lot of stuff go down. A lot of things happened here. And, of course, anyone that listened to our prediction show knows that we had a number of guests with us to talk about what we thought was going to win. Well, now we do have the actual winners, and we do have most of the guests from that prediction show here with us. So joining us to discuss the Oscar winners for the 2016 Academy Awards, we have from Fast Film Reviews, he's accepted many awards on the behalf of others, it's Mark Hoban.
Hi, everyone.
And from the Newport Beach Film Festival, we like her. We really like her. It's Miss Anna Bosch.
Hello, everyone.
How are the two of you doing this evening?
Really good.
Excellent.
Good?
That sounds
really
more like an
I. Aaron, like, that was my thing, and, like, I feel so bummed. I will get him one of these years.
One day.
Well, yeah, we obviously we all predicted what we thought would win the Academy Awards here, and we have results now. We'll go through those in a second. And we're going to talk more about the Oscars in general as well, too. But any general thoughts before we get underway?
It was a long Oscars.
But... Yeah, I mean, overall, I wasn't, like, even though there were some nice surprises and then other ones that maybe weren't so nice, overall, I was left with the feeling of, I don't know, it wasn't my favorite Oscars.
It was kind of just more of a, oh, wow, well, I wonder why that one won. A lot of strangeness, I suppose, and I know that it was sort of a tight race, and some of them were harder to predict than others, we all acknowledge that, but yeah, some of them were head-scratchers, too.
Yeah, the awards themselves, to me, I wasn't really alarmed by, but the ceremony, well, I liked it more than last year's ceremony, I would say. But at the same, it did feel like there was a lot of kind of weirdness in how it was kind of being run along at certain points. Mm-hmm. But we'll get there. Let's go over these. Okay, I guess let's go over these winners. Let's see. I'll start with the some of these technical categories here. So we had a. I'll start with the Mad Max wins. So we had Mad Max won 6 awards tonight. It won Best Sound Editing, Best Sound Mixing, Best Makeup and Hairstyles, Best Film Editing, Best Production Design, and Best Costume Design. For me, I predicted all of these, so I'm pretty happy.
Yeah, kudos to Mad Max for winning all those. I mean, it achieved all of that in the film, and I'm glad that they got some statues to show for it.
Mad Max pretty much won everything that it was expected to win, I think, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I mean, the visual effects seemed like it was kind of up in the air, and we'll get there in a second.
Sound editing, the sound mixing, those were also kind of debatable.
Yeah, they were. And I mean, it was, I would, again, these weren't the easiest categories necessarily to predict, but they leaned towards what many would see as one of the favorites going into these awards. I will say with the sound awards, I like the watching the nominees for the sound awards. That's where, like, things really kicked up when they did that. Like, because they did the screenplay awards first, and, like, the scenes they chose for those were really odd. Like, they didn't really flow in terms of, like, this is the key scene to show to emphasize screenplay writing, whereas the sound of editing and sound mixing awards, like, I feel like because the Oscars, you know, you need to have people watch this show. That was a cool way to make people watch the show, just the way they're kind of editing back between all the different sounds that were being used.
It really highlights the work they do. So.
Yeah, and makes it exciting to watch for people that maybe, you know, aren't as, you know, keen to watch an award show that focuses on sound for like 20 minutes.
To be fair, I would watch that show.
Oh, yeah, I'm always excited to watch the Oscars, but, you know, as far as people at home go, if they're not getting enough out of the Chris Rock jokes, I'd like to think that just a montage of awesome sound effect sizzle reels is going to do it for them.
Right. It's very amazing how that stuff is completed.
Do we want to talk about Chris Rock's performance as the host?
We can do that, yeah.
So I expected him to talk about Oscar So White. That was the big controversy, and he did, and I think he made some point. Particularly his intro, I think, was very good. I think he had a good intro to the ceremony. But it just seemed like every time it cut back to him, it was back to that again. And I don't know if the jokes were funnier, I would have been okay with it. But it was just so much of it. And then there was that odd Ange. I don't know. To me, I mean, humor is so like, you know, it affects people different ways. But that Angela Bassett thing where she was introducing what you thought was Will Smith and then it turned into Jack Black. And then that was it. It was just such a little bit of nothing. And
it was that, and then they added on Stacey Dash to come out there.
Oh, and then Stacey Dash. That was really bizarre. I thought he was just going to mention her. I had no idea she was actually going to walk out there. And then it was almost like self-referential humor. I don't know. I mean, it was just really awkward.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. It was so awkward and like just ridiculing like the whole situation, which I don't know if that's, I mean, with comedy, right? Like, it's supposed to be like that's the punchline in a way to like make fun of things that's happening. But at the same time, it's like, don't you want to bring whatever awareness it is that when you have a whole stage and a whole audience for you?
Yeah, that's where I think that his intro was pretty good. I mean, he brought up great points of, hey, you know what? You know why we weren't complaining about this like in 1960? Because there was other things going on that we had to fight for. And I was like, yeah, that's a great point. I mean, he also brings up the good point that I think a lot of people had mentioned, which is, Jada Pinkett, why are you so upset? I mean, you weren't invited and you weren't nominated for anything, so there's no real reason for you to go on this crusade of sorts. You know, there's other things that you can spend a lot of your time on.
Mm-hmm. And I actually thought that, I don't know if he was making a serious point, but it was kind of intelligent about how we separate acting into men and women, despite the fact that there is really no difference between, I mean, the ability for a man to act and a woman to act is not different. So that was sort of an interesting thing that he brought up.
That was a neat layered point that like could probably go on to different areas if we really want to get into that. Yeah. As far as like what Chris Rock was saying, I liked that point. That was a neat thing to put, which like,
yeah, I thought his intro was very good. So I actually liked that. It's just that throughout the rest of the ceremony, I just felt like he would come in with these. I just thought that Angela Bassett thing was odd, and then the Stacey Dash thing was odd, and I don't know.
I do agree. I think the monologue was the most insightful as far as what Chris Rock is able to do as a comedian, mixed with what he, you know, can bring to obvious, what it's an obvious controversy for this year's Oscars, among other years of the Oscars for that matter.
Oh, but you know what? I hadn't remember a segment he did. I'd like to get your thoughts, all of you, what you thought. He did that interview segment with sort of the man on the street interview with people, asking them about the different movies.
That was my least favorite thing I'm seeing, because it's a matter of, I mean, along with already having done so many jokes about the same, you know, the same premise of, you know, the Oscar's So White, now it's this whole let's bring what is ostensibly black people in to show that they didn't see the movies that are nominated for Oscars, which I don't know what argument that's making.
Right. And then who is being made fun of? Are they making fun of Hollywood for making movies that are irrelevant? Or are they making fun of the people in front of the theater that didn't know what they were? It was very odd. Like, I wasn't sure what the point was of that. And so, and then if it did seem a little bit like making fun of Hollywood. Like, oh, you're making movies that, you know, the average person isn't seeing. That's a kind of an odd point to make at an award ceremony that is supposed to celebrate Hollywood.
And I agree that, like, obviously the premise of the sketch was to make fun of Hollywood, but at the same time, I feel like the millions of people that are watching the Oscars, I feel like they'd more be laughing at the people that are talking as opposed to what the subject's trying
to address. It was almost a little bit like, you know, when Jay Leno does those sort of
questions
and then the people are sort of made fun of for not knowing things that they should know. Mm-hmm. And so,
because like you have one guy who's like, I've heard of Tom Hanks, like, really? I mean, like they had to interview like a whole bunch of people, so they found like the four or five that actually had like quote-unquote funny things to say for the camera. So it's like, okay, I mean, this just, I don't know what this is doing. It just feels like it's diminishing people here, like and specifically right. the black
it
people.
It verged on that, and I don't think that's what I'm sure that's not what Chris Rock wanted to do. But
because then it gets to the question of like, did you see Straight Outta Compton? And of course, it's all black people that are talking. It's like, of course, I saw Straight Outta Compton. So it's like, I don't know what like this isn't really hammering any point home for me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It just makes it feel like people are apparently ignorant, except when they black people watch movies starring black people, which that's I don't know how much of a point that's trying to get across at that stage.
Yeah, just with all of that in general, like the show and that premise wasn't that engaging, I guess, for like entertainment. But like when it comes to all these categories that we went over earlier, that was like more surprising. But like, yeah, nothing really happened for me when I was watching. I kind of just like looked at Aaron and was just like, not really laughing or that excited to be watching, really.
What helped is I did enjoy, like, Inarritu had it, like, in the midst of all these other, like, well, you know, yes. things that Chris Rock was doing mm-hmm. in his sketches, Inarritu comes out and, like, it's that, you know, obviously he didn't address Chris Rock's, you know, his material, but he, you know, addressed the idea of diversity and what, you know,
right.
this with, yeah. with referencing what Leonardo DiCaprio says about his son in the film and everything. I mean, there are points where the speeches I felt were really effective and the same with the president as well, the Academy president. I think in terms of being the most kind of even keeled way to address a topic like this in the midst of the host making active fun of this various situation that's happened. She had some things to say that I think were, you know, effective enough for her position. But I mean, yeah, Inarritu comes out and he has, you know, some good things to say as well.
And they even stopped the music for him to finish.
He was the one that battled the Academy.
Yeah,
they didn't test any of Morricone. He's just like, let him go.
Oh, man, isn't that a show of deference though?
Which is interesting though, because I told Aaron, I was like, I never seen that before. They have this scroll of thank yous, because I guess like it's kind of one of those moments like, you know, when the music comes on, it's you cut off, you're done. But they actually had a scroll at the bottom with like, these are their thank yous.
Yeah, they tried to make this the most like tech heavy Oscars with like the very like the VH1 version of the Oscars with the pop of video happening.
I kept trying to find out what the score for the Warriors game was. It wasn't coming up.
Yeah, but the
was he being played off with Star Wars music?
Who? Yeah, they chose weird music.
They had Ride of the Valkyries going for the longest time for all of them. It was like, all right, that's
but
pretty.
They also had a lot of weird like is sure it's stuff that you know and you've heard, but. I thought that it was strange when they were playing certain selections for whoever was presenting or coming to the stage. It's like, okay, all right. I guess I see what they're doing here. It's just, you know, Steven Spielberg movies or movies that have won Academy Awards for best score. So.
But speaking of Inarritu, how about that? A second time in a row to win Best Director. That hasn't happened since, what, 1950?
Yeah, that's what Trump was saying on the previous show. Yeah, I mean,
that's something that's kind of amazing. I like when, you know, things like that happen when
Emmanuel Lubezki, Chivo himself winning three back-to-back cinematography right. awards. I mean
that's never happened, right?
That's never happened for a cinematographer, no.
Right.
So yeah, definitely that's stuff to applaud for. That was great to see.
And then also the fact that Spotlight won two awards, including Best Picture.
Well,
that
hasn't
happened since Greatest Show on Earth, so which was 1953.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
we'll get there. We'll get there. Let's get back to some of the awards that we're going through here. Okay. So we had most of the technical awards, but there's still a few here. Best visual effects. So I had Star Wars.
Mm-hmm. I had The Revenant.
You had The Revenant. Mark, what'd you have?
I picked Mad Max.
I went with Star Wars as well.
And I can't remember where Mark Johnson went, but I think he went wrong either way.
He might have won Star Wars as well.
Right? He might have won. So, yeah, he did win. Yeah, because we were all talking about Star Wars way mm-hmm. too long in the last show, so we're going to do it right now again. Ex Machina won, which...
Yay!
Which I like that win. I like that pick. It's a great, like... Given how, you know, the grand scope of these other films, it's neat that the small independent feature, which does have terrific special effects, won. It won the award.
Yeah, I mean, they all had great special effects.
Yeah, they do, for sure.
We were all nominated.
But, yeah, definitely. I mean, it looked great, and I was glad that they did win for that. I mean, if Alex Garland won for, was it Adapted? It would have been great, too. But in any case, I'm glad that they walked away with something, because that is one of the best movies from last year.
Well, I remember when Ex Machina was nominated, it was a bit of a surprise, and it was sort of in the, you know, this category of sort of the big budget Hollywood blockbusters. And I thought that was kind of the award right there that it got nominated. So when it won, that's really, yeah, it's special.
Well, you could see it on all their faces too when they walked up there. It's like,
right.
Yeah, okay.
They're sitting in their seats like, "Oh, we're going to get up now."
But I mean, there's a few upsets that we'll talk about as we get to them, but I mean, that's for me, that's the biggest surprise of the night. I don't see what else is as surprising as something like that. Just seemed like such a that seems like the lowest on the list of the movies that could have won. That's just a surprise, as opposed to
right. Like it wasn't even second or yeah.
I mean, because you had Mad Max, The Revenant, and The Martian, all Best Picture nominees, and you have Star Wars, which is Star Wars. So you have a tiny movie about the robot. It's like, all right, that won. Okay, great. Let's see what else we have here. Best cinematography, we talked about a bit already. We all predicted Emmanuel Lubezki would win for The Revenant, and he won. It was good. Good win.
That was a good win.
Nice, nice speech. I mean, not much else to really add to that.
Yeah, again, pretty good cinematography in the movie. It wasn't like it was terrible.
Yeah, no, I mean, but I think many predicted that would probably win when we were seeing the movie to begin with. So, I mean, right. you go.
Yeah, I walked out of, I mean, in my review, I wrote that stills were like, you know, something you could put in a coffee table book. It was really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. You watch the trailer and you're like, this looks pretty good. The cinematography is pretty good just from the trailer alone.
It is. It's great, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
It is. Tracking chat in that trailer.
Let's get to some of the music stuff here. So first up, we have Best Original Score and the Hateful Eight one, and Ennio Morricone won after already winning like a Lifetime Achievement Award. Now he has an Oscar for a score. Does he have? I don't believe he hasn't won an actual Oscar for one of his scores.
No, this is his first win for an actual, you know, award of merit. Yeah,
and it was a good win. Like he seemed genuinely emotional about it, even though, you know. And it's funny, I whispered to Anna, does he even speak English? And nope, apparently not. That's not what he does. Or if he does, it's probably very minimal. But for, you know, a speech.
It was sweet. I like that win.
Yeah, it's probably my favorite speech of the night.
I mean, he probably wanted to walk over all the chairs, but, you know, he's an older man now.
No, they told him not to. That's what
they told him. Yeah, after
they're holding him by the hand to keep him down. That's what it was.
They're like, we're not going to have another Roberto Benigni situation here.
I don't know if you caught it, but after his speech, they panned to Danny Elfman in the audience, and he's kind of like, yeah! He was very happy.
Yeah, I thought that was the guy from Mythbusters.
he was the one person when they panned to somebody random in the audience that they actually put the name under him. So I mean,
yeah.
But no, good win. I'm sorry. I guess
it was also a good. It was also a good thing for them to, you had mentioned how they showed them scoring the music. It was cool to see them score and to hear the music play out a little bit when they were showing the nominations.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you kind of expect that to happen, but it's nice to see, you know, the process.
Right.
Sure. And I like that he shouted out John Williams, that's neat. And just in general, it's nice to see Ennio Morricone, who has a score that I really did love in that movie. Mm-hmm. He won an Oscar for it. And then like, if The Hateful Eight gets something, I'm glad that it got that.
True dad.
It was definitely a genuine moment. It was nice to see.
Nice to be reminded of the score in Bridge of Spies, because I didn't really remember it because I thought it was pretty generic. But I mean, good job for Thomas Newman.
He's going to win other awards.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And Sicario. It's cool. Sicario got a couple nominations. I really like Sicario. I believe you really like Sicario.
I did. I loved that score. It was great.
Yeah, when they played that score again for showing you how they made it, I was reminded of how good it is during the scenes in which these guys are going through the caves and whatever else. It's very
haunting.
Yeah, that's a good word to describe.
I love that the name of the composer for Sicario is Johan Johansson. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, no, it was a good win. I like seeing Ennio up there on stage. Then we had a Best Original Song, and obviously we saw. So here we go. We saw three of the songs performed. We saw The Weeknd and his pet bird on his head perform Earned It. We saw Sam Smith come out with the Writings on the Wall, and we saw Lady Gaga and her army on the stage with Till It Happens to You. So,
and this year, I kind of felt like with that whole Joe Biden and talking about date rape, that okay, this is going to be they're sort of almost anointing.
I don't know. It's also not even just date rape; it's just rape in general.
Just abuse.
Right. Everything. And it was becoming like this message. So I thought, okay, this they're kind of almost preordaining it, much in the same way that last year the theme from Selma. One and it, you know, it was sort of that same sort of powerful moment, and then no, we're gonna give it to.
I said to Anna as this was happening, Sam's just gonna feel like a real jerk if he wins this award after that performance.
And then
stage.
Did you see how he kind of made it sort of powerful? He said, "Well, you know, in his speech, he, and I don't even think he says he thought he was the first openly gay man to accept
he's an award.
Yeah, I think there's several actually.
I think that they had mentioned like Harvey or the writer for Milk or something related to Milk in 2009. I can't remember for what category. Let's look it up right now as we stall here. But no, I think that his speech was kind of strange, and that was a weird category for them to win because I think it was a weird song. I didn't think that it was as good as the Lady Gaga song. Even the song that I chose, which I randomly chose, which was
Simple Songs.
Yeah, I was like, okay, that one sounds even better than this song.
No, I really like I like the Simple Song number 3. I like that song from Youth. I'm a fan of that one. That was my preferred pick if there was a song that I could choose to win. Mm-hmm. Although, like hearing the clip from Manta Ray, which I'd never heard before until tonight, that sounded nice. I guess it was so for an award, so I guess someone did something right.
I feel the same way, and I would agree with Mark. I felt I was kind of surprised given like the politics of like rape and everything that song was gonna go forth and win, and it was just like, really?
It's just because I keep calling it not Skyfall because it just seems like such a not like compared to that song, which seemed like such a great Bond song that called back to old Bond. It was like, this is like, all right, here's the next one. Yeah
like, so the only thing I thought was like that was gonna win because of like the drive behind it of like rape and everything, but like with Spectre, it's just, like, it's not strong.
It's almost like the song itself is probably, it's okay. But as a theme song from, macho James Bond, there's so much falsetto in it and everything. Mm-hmm. It's just not, I didn't even think the song was right for James Bond.
It doesn't, no. It's, and there's so much falsetto without there being like a resolution. Like, it feels like there's always like, it's reaching for like a resolution that it never really gets there. Like every time I hear that song, it feels like he gets to these high peaks. And it's like, this seems like there's something.
Right, like, where's the chorus?
And it doesn't happen. Flat. Yeah.
And, like, I can't believe, like, Aaron was telling me, he's like, it's actually been on the radio. And I don't even listen to the radio that much, but I cannot imagine myself in the car anywhere just like, yes, I'm going to listen to Writings.
Bobbing that
on the
head
wall.
Back and forth. Guys, Sam Smith songs on the radio.
It's on the radio again.
Writings on the wall. Dude, let's go see Spectre again.
No. Oh, that was, yeah. That's
all right.
Something.
So let's go to the shorts now. I don't think any of I know one of us got one of them right, but I'm curious, did any of us get?
Congratulations, Anna.
Oh, thank you.
I immediately thought of you when they read Bear Story.
And you know, I even said on the show, on the prediction show, this seems like the Mr. Hublot of the year, and I did not choose it for some reason.
No, I can
understand why it won.
Yeah, but yeah, let's start with animated. Yeah.
Okay, so I was, of course, I was really happy with this win. And because I love that one. I mean, they were all strong, but other than Prologue, but like we joked around with that one. But Bear Story is great because it's also an allegory for the way families were torn during the Chilean regime. I think it was like, if I'm saying it correctly, Pinochet regime in the 70s. So, but other than that, like the story and also the animation, it's beautiful. It's also Chile's first win. So it was just very rewarding to see that. And also, last night, Aaron and I had attended Films Awards.
We attended the Short Films Awards, which is basically, it was like honoring all the nominees for the different short films.
Mm-hmm. And so they were there last night, and I was just like, oh my goodness, it's going to be so exciting to see if they win tomorrow. And they did. So I was very happy, and I'm glad I got that one right.
Kudos. Yeah.
Against my, again, betting on the Academy being cool enough to pick World of Tomorrow did not pay off.
Yeah.
And see, that's what I would have, I mean, my pick was Sanjay's Super Team, but I kind of, you know, inside really wanted World of Tomorrow to win. So
like, looking at Bear, if I feel like if I knew that like obviously Bear Story is if you've seen Bear, I mean, if you've seen these shorts, you kind of know what we're talking about. But if you watch Bear Story, you can kind of tell that it is pretty personal. But I, you know, honestly, I didn't know the history behind it. I should have looked it up. If anything, I might have maybe tipped the scales in terms of what I'd pick. But as far as being about an actual like event in Chilean history, that I could, that, you know, that makes it a lot of very Oscar-y mixed with the, you know, the animation involved with that. And they're all, you know, well animated films, but again,
yeah,
it's like, how Mr. Hublot won a few years back. It has that kind of that sentimental touch to it that the Academy seems to go for.
I like the fact that Bear Story almost looks like stop motion animation, even though it's, you know, computer animation. So it has a really kind of beautifully rendered look to it. So I mean I can appreciate that about it.
Yeah.
World of Tomorrow is sort of the opposite. It's very sort of simple in its animation, but I feel like the ideas are so much more
It's deceptively deep. Simple, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, next up we have the best short film live action, where everyone's the adorable Jacob Tremblay and Abraham Atta came up to present this award.
I was
here where Anna and I were watching it, and they both come out, and it's like, get it, they're short. And but like Abraham Atta, he's standing like so he's like two, he's like two of Jacob Tremblay's. and I said something like, it's yeah, because he's been through, he's grown up since the horrors of war in Africa, so like, that's why he's much taller.
I was also wondering, why did they put him in, like, why did they mark him so the microphone's right in his face? And then I was like, oh no, it's, yeah, Chris Rock, it's for a joke.
That was fine.
Yeah. But what that said, Jacob Tremblay, his staging wasn't right, because he said like a Madagascar joke, but it was like off mic.
But it was off mic, yeah. He's like, he was a zebra, so I trusted him or something.
Yeah, but he said thanks, Chris, I loved you in Madagascar, but it's like off mic and people are still like applauding. They got to get that timing down, guys. You want to be an actor in this world.
Wait, he has five films he's going to be in.
Yeah, but he wasn't nominated for an Academy Award.
He's going to be in five films?
He was on the red carpet talking about all his new movies that he's got working on right now.
With his little Millennium Falcon cufflinks.
And he said he was talking to Colin Trevorrow, director of Star Wars Episode 9, so maybe he's going to be in that. I don't know. Scoops? Scoops from the red carpet? Or in Jurassic World 2?
That joke that Jacob Tremblay told about Madagascar and Chris Rock, you think that was scripted?
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Oh,
okay.
I think between that and his Millennium Falcon cufflinks, I think he's riding his cuteness into the ground.
Okay. Yeah.
He's like, the guy's like this. Give him more jokes to say. Give him cufflinks about Star Wars. It's very cynical. That's my thoughts on Jacob Tremblay's Hollywood career.
Aaron, were you a former child actor?
No.
Okay,
all right. I
did not start a Chex-Mix commercial that you could look up online.
Oh, furiously typing YouTube, Chex-Mix Aaron.
I'm the black one. So
really,
did any of us pick Stutterer?
No, I think Mark Johnson did.
Okay.
Yeah. He may have said like it's a good one, and I would go for it if I didn't choose Shulk like the rest of us. But I think he may have chosen Stutterer.
I think so too. But like, this is where it's that category where all of these films are strong. And it's one of those years where, like we were talking earlier, where it's like Stutterer is a little bit lighter. So it seemed like it'd be a win as well.
Yeah. Enough is enough for the Academy when it came to pressing short features.
Who doesn't want to see this guy go across the sidewalk with some, well, he threw away the roses or whatever,
Stutter is certainly a solid film. Very happy to see it win and everything. Mm-hmm. We met a lot where we kind of at least, we were around a lot of the guys that were at the Shorts Film Awards things. That
That's
we saw
cool. Them.
That said, we were talking a lot to the director of Shulk last night.
I know. Oh my gosh.
And you know, I think I even told you, it was like, should you say something with him? And I said, I don't think you should put the whammy on him.
Maybe
and
I jinxed his win.
Oh no. Yeah, you didn't jinx it. You didn't jinx it.
Oh my goodness! But
PricewaterhouseCooper already knew who won.
Because like I was really pulling for a show because I think it was my favorite thing. Like it's probably depressing to see, but like the child when he's told it wraps up. The way it wraps up in the film where like he's told not to turn around and he does.
And things happen.
And yes, he doesn't want me to spoil the film.
No, I don't.
Other people will see it. It's gonna get an Oscar bump.
It's true.
Nomination
last night
bump.
They were saying how a lot of people are actually going out to see short films now, which is
great. The short film that the Shorts HD network releases the Shorts films into compilations every year, and based off what they're telling us, that this year it's been in the most theaters and has grossed the most money domestically ever.
Yeah.
And it's been growing.
What is that?
The short films, the kind of when they release the short films into theaters.
Oh.
And it's like. I think it was four films this year because they do like the live actions all compiled together, the short animated all compiled together, and
right.
The documentaries are usually like two because they're long.
Right.
But like this year, that release, which always comes around in January, it's been the largest grossing of all of the years they've been doing this. So more and more people are going to see these films.
Right? Yeah.
Yay, short films.
And speaking of short films, last one, best documentary short subject. Louis C.K. killed it on this one. I was happy with his presenting as far as presenters go, and I like
it was a great bit.
I'm a big Louis C.K. fan in general, but yeah, seeing him come out and talk about how short filmmakers, they're the only ones that are actually trying to change the world and they're not making any money off of this, like that made me laugh quite a bit.
And it made me laugh when he's like, they're gonna drive home in their Honda Civic, which is probably true. So, yeah. Funny bit.
The award almost went to Mad Max in this category.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. So I believe all of us, I chose Body Theme 12, and the rest of you chose Showa, mm-hmm. Spectres of right. Showa. And yeah. The award went to A Girl in the River, The Price of Forgiveness. So,
which yeah. I did. That is a very powerful film. So, I mean, it's worthy.
And the director she had won before, I believe, right?
Yeah, she has. She won for something called Saving Face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she said, I'm glad I have two of them now, which is like, okay, I guess. I mean, I know that you're excited and you're kind of, you know, jittery. Well,
she needed a bookend.
Yeah, exactly.
It was kind of a weird thing to say. Like, I'm glad I have two of them now.
It's that visceral, like, gut reaction. Like, what's the first thing I say to make people laugh when I get on stage? Yeah. Right? That said, I mean, her film, I have not seen this doc of the documentaries. We only saw a couple of them. But it led to an actual, like, legislation change in Pakistan because of the film. So, I mean, good on her.
Good on her. Kudos.
And speaking of documentary, sure, let's talk about documentary. I think we all predicted Amy to win.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Amy won.
Glad that it did. Yeah.
It's certainly a solid doc, for sure. That's
right. Hey, absolutely. It's available streaming right now.
Is it?
On Amazon Prime.
Okay.
Although it might be on Netflix as well.
I'm not sure if it's on Netflix yet. It probably will be eventually. But,
right.
Yeah. And let's see. What else here? How about Best Foreign Film? We all predicted Son of Saul, I believe.
Yep.
Right. Yes.
And Son of Saul won.
Kudos. Good job, guys.
Yeah.
High fives.
I think I think it's pronounced Son of Saul.
Yes, according to Sofia Vergara. Oh, speaking of Sofia Vergara, you know they had the little pop-up windows. Did you notice that her pop-up window said she was in Hot Pursuit with Reese Witherspoon?
Yeah, it didn't have.
Did her agent approve that?
Because, it didn't have much to pull from, I'm imagining.
Well, Modern Family, I mean, she's actually been nominated.
We're not celebrating television, Mark.
Oh, yes, television, it's so beneath them.
It is beneath them, literally.
It's cinema.
The Emmys are awarded below where they present the Oscars. I made that up, that's not true, but still. But no, they had her and Byung Hun Lee.
She was in Machete Kills.
Yeah, they could have written that one instead.
Oh, she was in Chef.
Chef would have been a good one to write. Yeah. The PR Chef. Yeah, the PR person's going to get fired tomorrow morning.
Hot Pursuit did bomb, so yeah, I'm not really sure what audience they're pulling for when they write them. I guess because it has Oscar winner Reese Witherspoon's
in it, right.
But then again, Chef has, like, everybody's in them. I'm in Chef. So they put my name on it.
That's right. You were one of the food production guys.
Gosh. But they had her and Byung Hun Lee come out, and it seemed like foreign language film, by the way. Like, the teleprompter gave him, like, the trickiest words to say as far as, like, people that didn't have English as their first language to speak. So it's like they really tested them, it seemed, on stage for the lead-up to announcing the nominees. Right. That said, Son of Saul is a great film.
It's pretty solid.
Very happy it won. I mean, I've yet to see any of the other foreign language films, which I'm usually better about, but I just haven't had the opportunity yet. But, no, it's certainly a strong film, so. Let's see. Animated feature, Inside Out, won it. We all saw that was one of the locks of the night that happened. Peak Doctor got up there. He's won before. He gave a pretty tight speech. Pretty tight and easy, but, you know, did what he needed to do.
Yeah.
Is that all the those ones?
I believe so, yes.
Right, so, yeah, now we get to the biggie ones. I mean, the screenplay ones were awarded first. It was kind of, like, did you guys like the kind of the presentation as far as, like, how they're, like, going about awarding things and, like, showing stuff on, like, because for, like, the screen, they talked about how they're going to do, like, the awards in the order of how a film gets made, and so it starts with the story, so they have the screenplay awards for it. Did you like that, like, approach to the awards?
I didn't even realize that.
No one
I guess was fine.
I thought
it wasn't bad. I guess
I thought that was neat, and like when they did like costume design and production design, they brought out like the boards and stuff, like, and
drawing table.
Yeah, they brought out like all the materials, it would seem, to kind of make it more interactive on, because so they're like,
is they recreated the scene in a movie in which there's just musical score and people are talking back and forth over chalkboards.
Yeah. But even if like costume, like they had the presenters were like walking through all this stuff that they had on stage, like they tried to make it like fun, I guess.
Yeah, okay.
As far as screenplays go, yeah, Spotlight, The Big Short, we all saw that coming, and that's what happened. I mean,
yeah, get on them.
We can now say that Anchorman director Adam McKay is an Oscar winner.
That's going to burst him onto the national spotlight scene.
I mean, I think directing a film that got the amount of, yeah, the amount of.
He's already pretty big.
Kind of helping right there. And Spotlight won, which apparently should have been foreshadowing, but we didn't really think about that early on.
We which we'll get to.
Yeah, okay. Best Supporting Actress, Alicia Vikander won. I know there were some thoughts about things leading the other way. I know, Abe, you had Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Yeah, that was kind of more of a random pick. Now in retrospect, I'm like, eh, she probably wasn't going to win.
Anna, you had Kate Winslet.
I did.
Which was a good pick.
Which is a good pick. Yeah.
Easily could have won. Yeah, Alicia Vikander, like it. She won the award. Let's see. Best Supporting Actor, though. And, you know, among the kind of surprises of the night, I mean, not the biggest surprise necessarily, but certainly an upset.
Yeah.
Where Sylvester Stallone was a heavy favorite in the category, but it turned out to be Mark Rylance.
And he was pretty good. We all said it on the previous show. He was a very good part of Bridge of Spies.
I mean, when Bridge of Spies came out, everyone was talking about Mark Rylance in general, as far as, like, this is a person that's going to be on everyone's radar after this movie. And I mean,
I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that people didn't realize how good Creed would be. And then when it became really good, then they thought, well, this is a good role for Sylvester Stallone is good in it. And he could, you know, kind of in a sense,
he could go the distance,
redeem himself, you know, for decades of movies that are been sort of lackluster. I mean, I actually am fairly positive about Sylvester Stallone. I've actually liked movies of his throughout his career, but they've never been really Oscar worthy.
Yeah, I mean, friend of the show, Scott Mendelson, we've talked about this in our Rocky commentary and just in general when Stallone has come up in conversation, where Stallone is rarely like the worst part of a film that he's involved with. It seems like there's certainly, you know, he's an action star. So, you know, he stars in a lot of action movies, and not every action movie is Mad Max where it's going to win 6 Academy Awards. It's, you know, there's a lot of B and lower action movies, and he's been a part of those. And, you know, he hasn't had a chance to often be a kind of dramatic lead in things. He's experimented now and then, like films like Copland and whatnot. And, you know, the return to the Rocky series, which, as opposed to some action stars that maybe don't retreat their iconic characters of respect, Bruce Willis, Sylvester Stallone's always had a level of respect for Rocky and Rambo, for that matter, as far as not just making multiple sequels without caring, but actually caring about the character. Like, where,
yeah, and again, he's been pretty hands-on in all the Rocky series. He's either written or directed some of them, and yeah, he takes his character pretty seriously. So it's kind of a bummer that he didn't win, but at the same time, again, Mark Rylance, I wasn't upset that Mark Rylance won. Was I a surprise? A tad bit, but at the same time, great job. He was fantastic in Bridge of Spies.
It's a strong performance. A man that's coming from BBC and theater mostly. He's now it's his one of his first films, and he crushed it.
knocked it out of the park.
Well, this kind of reminded me of this narrative of Sylvester Stallone winning for Creed, and after sort of a period of not popularity or whatever, or non-success, kind of reminded me a little bit of when Eddie Murphy was nominated for Dreamgirls.
He was
the favorite.
Yeah.
I don't know if people remember this, but he was the favorite to win that, Best Supporting Actor for that award. And then him losing, I think, did kind of was a little bit disappointing. I mean, of course, any actor when they lose is probably disappointing, but some I think are better prepared to deal with it. And I think Eddie Murphy really thought he would win because everyone was telling him he was going to win, and then he didn't. And I sort of feel this way about Sylvester Stallone. I have a feeling he's probably kind of crushed by it.
He's upset. I mean anyone that is ahead, that's knowing that they're a heavy favorite in something, and has the kind of respect from everyone that telling him I completely agree, Mark. But that said, Eddie Murphy left the Academy Awards when he lost also. Like he left the ceremony. He left early.
I guess we'll just see what happens in his if he continues the career of of course he'll be away from Rocky and see what else he does to get nominated again or what have you, because I kind of felt bummed. It was you finally see it's one of those moments. It's kind of people been joking about Leo for the longest time, where it's finally Sylvester Stallone's gonna get an award for what has been, you said, a great performance, because he's taking care of his characters and what he's his passion is for what he's done thus far.
He's the Michael Keaton of this year.
Michael Keaton had a great walk up, which we'll chat about.
Oh yeah, we'll get there. Yeah, he was throwing fists and everything. He ran up the aisles 3 times to high five. Best actress. This was one of the locks of the night. Brie Larson, and Brie Larson won.
I was hoping that there wasn't going to be an upset here, because I would have been pretty upset.
Mark?
I'm going back a little bit, but what you said about Michael Keaton, I mean, actually, I just realized he was in Birdman, and now he's in Spotlight. He's in the Best Picture winners both 2 years in a row.
But as far as, like Michael Keaton, another act similar to like Stallone, where it's like he,
right, right.
It seemed like he, you know, not starring in many things that were kind of getting the esteem but that the film that the
The thing that's different about Stallone is, you know, it's like the Razzies and it's sort of how his career has taken this sort of almost of a not I think people have respect for Stallone, but he does there. He's a bit of a punchline as well. Mm-hmm. I don't think Michael Keaton has ever been that kind of a person.
I agree there. Which I think is a bit of a shame that Stallone's come a punchline for some reason. But
not a punchline, but I mean, Stallone has had massive success. I mean, this, you know, the Rambo series and the Rocky series are some of the biggest.
Well, in general, he's a bigger kind of public star. Like, I mean, I don't think anyone can tell you about Michael Keaton's personal life over the past 20 years, where people know a lot of things about Stallone. As
right, right. They're really kind of different actors. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yeah for sure.
Definitely.
But yeah, actress Brie Larson won.
Happy about that.
We all
yeah, that was nice.
It gave a nice tight speech as well.
Yeah,
I feel like Jacob Tremblay was as excited as anyone for her.
His mom from Room won, so I mean it's great. Yeah. let's see, best actor Leonardo DiCaprio. Another one we pretty much saw coming.
No surprise.
But Leo got up there and he gave a classy speech.
He did.
That said, it got to like minute two and I was like, here it comes. And there he goes talking about climate change. And I was like, all right.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong. It's just like I was waiting for that other shoe to drop. And it's like, here it is. All right.
You know what? That win, though, for DiCaprio, I think the mainstream America, that is like what everyone wanted to see. The party I was at, everyone erupted in applause. I kind of was like, okay, this is what I expected. But I think people were asking me, well, do you think he's going to win? Do you think he's going to win? It's yes, he's going to win. You can take it to the bank. And yeah. And so I think, you know, across America, there are millions of people that are just like really happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Damon wasn't going to win. The Oscar doesn't like comedies.
Yeah, I was just more fearful for Bryan Cranston kind of winning. And from the clips that they showed, I was like, they're going to choose that one from – they chose that one from The Revenant? I think there's a better one that he's –
Well, they chose the one where he actually talks the most. I think right, that was the logic they had.
Yeah,
I
know. And I was he's like, talking the most and he's talking the quickest because in the clip where he's talking with the – what's his face? Domhnall Gleeson. It's very slow, but yeah.
It's like this man
– That was the one part where he actually had like a bunch of words to say.
Yeah.
Right.
So yeah, they
The Revenant was not nominated for Best Screenplay, so, and you know, I think there's probably a reason for that.
Yeah, not enough words.
Yeah.
No.
Although the artist did get nominated for Best Screenplay, so.
No, there's words there that you just can't hear them.
That would be funny if it was a three-page script.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the three-page script, like, okay, Leo gets knocked down, Leo crawls, Leo wins, and that's the end of the script. Like, I green light.
But it was, you know, good win for DiCaprio. He's got it. Apparently, the nation applauded, so we're all good.
Yeah, there's a bunch of memes and GIFs out there right now.
Uh-huh. Best director. So Alejandro González Iñárritu won back-to-back Oscars now.
Back-to-back.
Good on him.
Yeah.
And again, I acknowledged the speech earlier, but I think he gave a really good speech as far as
he did
acknowledging both the honor of having the award and as well as, you know, what the future holds if we keep moving things along as far as progress. So it was it's good.
Hashtag Ferngully.
I mean, that was DiCaprio's hashtag.
Yeah,
that was... Obviously, you know, I'm a big Mad Max fan, so I was like, oh, what if Miller pulled out a win out of nowhere? But
But did you think that would happen, though? I mean, I was so it seemed preordained that Iñárritu would win.
I mean, it's hard to fight against DGA wins, but at the same time, it's like, there was already some upsets this
right.
Time.
Yeah, exactly.
Why not?
Right? At the point in which the best director was being presented, I was thinking, oh, man, Lenny Abrahamson can win for Room. And I was like, if that happens... Well, there goes my list.
If Lenny Abramson won for Room, that would have been the wildest win of the night, easily.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I was thinking a few years back when like Hugo is cleaning up in the technical categories, which is something I didn't necessarily see coming. And I was like, what if Scorsese won a second director Oscar for Hugo? That would have been amazing. But yeah. Ang Lee took it, which is like also fine. that was that weird year where Argo was best picture, but it didn't get a best director nominee, so like you didn't really know what was going to happen. That was what was going on then. But yeah, here, I mean, he pretty much You had, but with that said, that gets us to Best Picture, where like Inarritu won for The Revenant. So I think we're all gearing up for like, all right, let's get the right. Revenant an award so we can get out of here. Mm-hmm. And that did not happen. That is not what took place this night. No. I'm still a little bit shocked actually that The Revenant is not the Best Picture winner.
Very pleasantly surprised.
Just to point out, the PGA winner did not win, and the DGA winner did not win. It went to the SAG award.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if that has that ever happened.
We'll check.
I mean, where it didn't Mark win Johnson the other ones, well. It only. Yeah, that I can't imagine like one where it only won SAG and then it went on to win Best Picture.
Yeah, but when they announced Spotlight for winning Best Picture, I threw my fist up. I was like, yes, all right, that's a great win.
I feel I did like a double take. I was kind of like I felt like I heard it. And then it's like, wait, that wasn't like the joke answer.
No, exactly.
Because it wouldn't make sense to name one of the other nominees as the joke answer. Yeah. So.
Honestly, because when Morgan Freeman said Spotlight, I looked at Aaron. I was like, did he really just say Spotlight? Like it actually won. But like, it is like, I would say, I know I was saying earlier about like, if any of the picks would be between The Revenant, Spotlight, and The Big Short. And I think I didn't see Spotlight, but what I've heard about and read about it, like I feel like it being... I'm all about story when it comes to films, and this obviously has a powerful story to be told. Therefore, it's like, well, good job, Academy, for like picking a film that has a powerful and well-done story. I mean, The Revenant is beautiful. We can all see how it's thematically in its visuals and everything. But as a story, as being a best picture, I don't think, like, honestly, I would want it to win. But like, I did choose it to win just because of the awards that were going on before, and like Best Director, as we said.
Right.
But yeah, it was a surprise, and it's great. It's a great applause to Spotlight for being Best Pick.
I said this on the review when we were talking about it. Again, when I watched the movie, it didn't seem as though I was watching actors act. It just felt as though I was watching these real characters do work in the movie. So again, a super surprise, not super surprised, but super happy that it won. A little surprised, but yeah.
I mean, it's a film that feels like a one of the defining films of the year for me, as far as like what something that like says like what we've accomplished in film last year. This is like one of the great ones, and I feel like that honestly stands up very high, and I'm happy to see that the Academy recognized that. I really like The Revenant. Like it feels like because I'm so like I'm higher on other films that are nominated. Like it comes across like I don't like this movie. I think The Revenant's a very good film. It has a lot of great things in it. I think DiCaprio, for example, is great in The Revenant. I think that obviously the cinematography is amazing. Like there's a lot of great things about the film. That said, Spotlight just like there's so much there to me where I watch it. It just feels powerful as opposed to being screaming at me that it's powerful like The Revenant kind of does in terms of like look at how beautiful this is and how hard it was to make.
Hey man, did you know that they shot it with natural lighting only? Come on, give it some credit here.
It just like Spotlight. It just that move. It just it feels like the right win, guys, honestly.
Yeah, no, it really does.
Well, and it was the winner that they had sort of picked way back in like August or whenever, you know, and so for months it was the front runner, and then it was sort of like through these guilds and stuff we started to like change our minds and go with, you know, The Big Short at one point, and then when it won PGA, and then with The Revenant when it won the DGA. So it kind of, I mean, the scheme of things, it really was the one that, and when it came out, I think people were sort of expecting it to be good. And then when Spotlight came out, they realized, oh my gosh, this is even better than we expected. This is going to win. So it does kind of, I mean, back when it originally came out. So it kind of makes sense. I mean, and there was a lot of passion behind it. I think a lot of people, you know, love that film.
I was saying this too on the prediction show where it's obviously. Argo came out in September and that eventually won, even though like other films kind of got in the way, but it still became the inevitable winner. And that was kind of my logic of why Spotlight could win. And I really should have stuck with my guns because for a while I did have it before like Cheney was like, oh, Revenant's got all this buzz. It's got all the lead up.
Yeah.
But no, Spotlight is the winner. And by the way, how great was Morgan Freeman in the last like section here coming out for Best Pick, like the way he's just like, and now we've already nominated, we've awarded.
I thought that
editing,
it was just
production
record,
design,
pre-recorded.
Costume, visual effect. Like he named like every category. He's like, what if he just came out and did the show in like half an hour? Like we'd be out of here. It'd be easy.
Fantastic.
And we'd love it. Everyone would love the show. They don't care about the pageantry because Morgan Freeman has a great voice.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. It would have been great. Can we talk about Michael Keaton real quick?
No. What? No, I'm kidding. Yes, we can do it.
Lots of energy from Michael Keaton. I loved it. And when he went up to go grab a cookie from Chris Rock at the end, that was also great.
Yeah, him and Morgan Freeman grabbing cookies. Did you like the cookie bit?
It added to the running time, so I wasn't a huge fan. Because we also, internally, Aaron, Anna, and I had a bet on the running time. And I think that that and also Chris Rock's on the street thing was a... It really hurt for my 3 hour and 13 minute.
Was that on the show? I think it was on the show that recorded that part.
Pre-recorded?
I think we were, regardless, if it wasn't on the show, we all guessed how long we thought the, I guess it was, right?
No, it was after everything.
It was just, okay, was, yeah. Yeah. Okay, so Avon and I, we did guess how long the show did. I believe I said 3 hours and 32 minutes.
That's correct. Even.
So I think I was pretty close to the win.
Pretty close. It was 3:37.
Oh, good. Okay, mm-hmm. I nailed it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Leave it to Rock. Leave it to Rock. So overdone. Oscar so white controversy spiel. What else about the Oscars, guys?
Did you guys like the ending song?
What they had Hollywood swinging
and then they had Fight the Power. Yeah, and I was like,
I was hoping Fight the Power was playing in the actual
auditorium.
Yeah,
I don't think that it was. Yeah, it was, you know, overall, it was all right.
A lot of Whoopi at the Oscars.
Whoop.
She was all over.
I do miss Whoopi.
Whoopi.
It'll be interesting to see, like, all of the records and things that were broken or things that have stood the test of time for so many years and have changed. Like I said earlier, 2 Academy Awards for a Best Picture winner. Hasn't happened since 1953. And I'm sure there are other things that changed. I mean, the fact that Spotlight won and it didn't win... didn't win GGA or PGA. That's pretty surprising too. It kind of throws the predictions thing out the window.
Definitely.
I imagine there's something that like Mad Max winning 6 awards, in the technical. I mean, it's nothing new necessarily for like a big effects kind of action film to win a lot of the technical awards. But you know, cleaning up in those, you know, against a lot of and being, you know, a Best Picture nominee. I mean, there's probably something there. That's a whole.
Well, you know, Gravity won like 7 awards and didn't win Best Picture. That was kind of surprising that year.
Yeah, yeah, and that was because Mark, you said early on, like Spotlight only won picture and screenplay, which has to be like a rarity. 12 Years a Slave. How many awards did 12 Years? I think it got supporting actress, picture, and screenplay. I'm trying to think if it won. Did it win like costume or production design or anything like that?
If we stall for a second, I'll check really quickly. It's nominated for screenplay, supporting role, and motion picture. Nominated for leading, supporting, costume design, directing.
Yeah, it won 3 Oscars. Yeah,
editing, okay, so. And production design. 1-3.
Yeah. But it was nominated, yeah, for a bunch.
It was nominated for a bunch, yeah. But let's see. What else about the Oscars, guys?
It definitely is history, you know.
What did you guys – you mentioned the cookie bit. Did you enjoy that?
Not really.
The Girl Scout cookies?
Not really.
Of the kind of like – it was. I think it was better than the Neil Patrick Harris addresses a giant box that you don't know what's in it till the end of the Academy Awards magic.
And it was nothing spectacular.
Yeah, I was like, okay, whatever. But
you know what? There was another joke that Chris Rock made. He was talking about the Girl Scout cookies and he said, Louis Gossett Jr., you have diabetes. You don't buy them. That was really awkward.
But they cut to him, and he put the box of cookies near his face, and he was smiling.
I would say Chris Rock. There were a few ringers in his patter throughout the night.
Good looking suit on Chris Rock. He looked great.
So. It never changed. Usually they change.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that too. Like usually they have some costume changes. He's probably like, no. I'm gonna play this one.
Perhaps he was the bear up in the balcony.
Hand me the bear.
That was another awkward moment where they cut to the bear, but it was like so quick that like they kind of like had to like register after half a second. So like it's like, oh, that happened.
Right, well, they cut to DiCaprio after they showed the bear, and it didn't look like he saw it or something because he was just sort of sitting there like it was nothing.
Or he just doesn't have a sense of humor.
He was just really keen on.
He was jotting down notes about climate.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if that was the bear from The Revenant or from Bear Story.
It was the same
was
bear.
From Bear Story.
No, that's what Bear Story went on to do.
Oh, that makes so much sense. He really grew up.
Yeah.
It's Brother Bear.
It's Brother Bear.
It's Brother Bear. Oh,
that's Joaquin Phoenix. All right.
So that was the Oscars.
That was the Oscars. The Oscars happened. It was a show. Mm-hmm. Some surprise winners that I enjoyed.
Indeed. Did we name who won on this show? Did we do that at the beginning?
No, let's do that. By the way, yeah. As far as the predictions that we all put out, I believe in last place, Abe, you had what, 13?
13.
At 24? In
second to last place?
In no, I guess second place, because it's tied. Second place would be Anna. You had
14.
And in a tie for first place, it was Mark, and myself, all of 17 out of 24.
MMA.
Yeah, exactly.
Or MAM.
MAM.
Congratulations, you three.
Yeah, I honestly, it's not our best year. I mean, it was a tricky race, as we said from the top. As far as there's a lot of things that we don't really know what to happen. That said, I feel like some of them were just like the technical awards. We got a lot of those as far as getting those which were some of the trickier ones, right? And it's just like some like the actor upset, the picture upset, like those things took it over.
Mm-hmm.
But always fun though, for sure, to do the predictions.
Can't wait for next year. When Leo wins back to back,
yeah, right.
Yeah, calling it.
I'd like to make a prediction for what will win Best Picture next year.
Okay,
The Birth of a Nation.
Yeah, you're going with
you
that.
You heard it here first.
Okay.
You think Nate Parker will win Best Actor? Or no. Maybe we'll see Craig. I hear Craig Robinson's in it. He's giving like a great supporting performance.
So Nate Parker, he directed it, he wrote it, he starred in it.
He was going serious.
Catering, he did janitorial work on it.
Yeah, he even surprised security like he did in Beyond the Lights.
He made
crazy.
A live action documentary short subject film about the making of the movie.
I mean, the buzz surrounding the movie is already good because it did well at Sundance. But I think the stage is set for that movie to get a lot of awards.
We'll see. So, you heard it here first. Hashtag Mark Hoban predicts Birth of a Nation. That's a long hashtag.
All right. Let's move on now. Let's do. We're gonna do some other regular
stuff. Regular show stuff.
Yeah. Let's do some out of quickies.
Yep.
Each week now we have one movie of the week. They talk about those out of the week. During the quickies.
Yep. That's pretty good.
All right.
You're on fire tonight.
Abe, did you see any other movies this week?
I did. I watched Triple Nine. It's a movie about some crooked cops and ex-military personnel who need to go and get something for a Russian drug dealer. And it was kind of a boring movie. It's very much paint-by-numbers. You can tell that all the characters are pretty much playing a type. Like, there's a washed-up cop type who ran out of the police force after 2 years, and he's a druggie now, and he fucks up a lot of things. And then you've got, the mean alpha dog who just yells at people to do things. And you've got the guy who might have a conscience. And then the newbie. And, it's kind of there's a lot of characters in here, which is unnecessary. And the plot is just very, very, it's not very compelling. The only things that were really cool were two scenes in which they have to go enter buildings. And those were good scenes.
All right. Well,
on the whole, a rental.
It is from director John Hillcoat, who did The Proposition and The Road, so I'm inclined to see any movie that he does. So I do plan on checking out Triple Nine. It's a great cast. But yeah, I have been hearing mixed things overall, so we'll still see. Mm-hmm. Mark Hoban, any other movies recently?
Well, I saw Eddie the Eagle last week, and it's an enjoyable film, uplifting, come from behind, the sports drama. I think if you're going to be critical about it and want something innovative, then you will be disappointed. But if you're up for a well-made, well-acted movie, it's got Taron Egerton from The Kingsman and also has Hugh Jackman. They're both good in it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. It was a pleasant diversion.
Yeah, you and I have been on a roll of late as far as admiring films for the same reason and having kind of the same exact things to say. And I completely agree with you about Eddie the Eagle. I think it's a fine sports movie that kind of hits every single cliche you'd expect, but is very
entertaining. Is there a slow clapping scene?
No, there's no slow. I mean, it's not. It doesn't have that kind. It doesn't have the kind of stuff that happens that lead to a slow clapping scene, but it does have all the other things you kind of expect in certain sports movies, and it's a good one. I mean,
want to see it.
It is charming. I think Taron Egerton, who I really liked in Kingsman, he's very good in this film, and Hugh Jackman's he's a solid kind of Obi-Wan role as far as like mentoring this kid to do what he needs to do.
It's not doing very well, so I don't think that it's going to disappear pretty quickly, but
it's unfortunate. It's a smaller like Fox Searchlight film, but it's not doing the kind of some of those films break out bigger than others. And this one, unfortunately, paced off this weekend, it's not breaking out in the same way that some may have hoped.
From what I hear, From what I hear, it's better than Gods of Egypt. And
we'll
you
get there.
Okay.
Anna, have you seen any other films recently?
Yes, I've seen Zootopia.
Zootopia, the upcoming film.
The upcoming,
Can I talk a little bit about it?
Yes, you can talk about
it. So it's Disney's new animated film, and it's basically storyline of animals that live like in a metropolis, and you have the main character is
Judy Hopps,
and she's definitely has a dream to become the first bunny on the force, police force for Zootopia, and I'll leave it at that because I know I can definitely dive so much more into a movie, but I really enjoyed it. I think it has, again, I'm one that. When I see a film, if it has a strong storyline, that's what wins me over. And this is a great animation that does that. It has a great storyline that even has, it throws in some race relations in there between these different, like the different animals of predators and prey. And just this inspiring feeling of like, you can be anything, you can do anything. And it's basically also, I guess you can say a mammals type of a utopia. So like all these animals, there's a utopian world for mammals. But yeah, I really think it was fantastic, and it was enjoyable to see with you.
Look at that. Yeah. It,
was there a slow clapping scene in there?
What'd you say?
Was there a slow clapping scene in there?
No, not unfortunately. There's not a slow clapping scene in there. But yeah, we'll probably address Zootopia more on next week's show.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah.
But yeah, it is one to one you should probably check out if you had a chance. I saw another. I saw the other film that opened this weekend. You talked about Eddie the Eagle, Mark, and Abe. You talked about Triple Nine. I saw what is probably the best of the bunch, which was Gods of Egypt, from
I am envious
Crow and Dark City director Alex Proyas. So, this is the kind of film where I think it has like a 10% or something on Rotten Tomatoes.
12.
Oh, okay.
It may have gone up too.
I get that. At the same time, I don't think it's a good movie. And I also don't think it's a fun good movie, like a fun bad movie, but it's really close to being a fun bad movie. Like it's so on the verge of being like so bad it's good that it's like it's a little unfortunate. Because right. the movie
how does it compare to Pompeii?
See, I think both you and I liked Pompeii.
For
being exactly what it was supposed to be without trying anything like without being anything more. I think what helps Pompeii is that Pompeii I think is only like 90 something minutes long. Gods of Egypt's 2 hours and 7 minutes long, and the issue I have with it is the screenplay. It's from the guys that did Dracula Untold and The Last Witch Hunter.
That's the best Dracula movie.
Yeah, and I feel like these guys are too preoccupied in like trying to sell you on like a whole franchise and like all these things that kind of make it like a generic story that you can just kind of fill in the blanks with, where they just forget to have fun with it, because everybody else involved with Gods of Egypt, I think, is having a blast in this movie.
Oh, they are. Okay.
Like that. I mean, taking away the whitewashing of Egyptian characters, taking that aspect out, there is a lot of people that are doing their best to just have a fun time in this movie. There's a scene involving Jeffrey Rush as Ra, the sun god of Egypt, where you meet him as he's like hurling firebolts at some kind of smoke demon to protect Earth. And it's like, just saying that should be a great movie. but unfortunately, it's not, because it's 2 hours and 7 minutes, which means you have all these scenes of the two whitest characters. You have Nicholas Coster-Waldau, the Kingslayer from Game of Thrones, and Brenton Thwaites from The Signal, which Abe and I are both
of.
He's like the lead star. It's like a buddy movie between them, where they go to various ancient Egyptian locations, find like a tomb or something that has traps or whatnot, and like have to basically get through it, get whatever they're going for, then run away and escape. And they repeat that scene like 5 times. So it gets really monotonous as far as like seeing this stuff. But Alex Proyas, the director, he throws so much visual craziness at you throughout this movie, where every scene, like there's something weird or wild happening in the foreground to like accompany the actors that are delivering really bad dialogue. And so like, Gerard Butler is in this movie. He's terrible. But he's like terrible in a good way. He's like so over the top, it's ridiculous.
But he's terrible, meaning like he's giving it his all. But
he's giving
got
it his all in a Scottish accent, playing
and he's got,
Egyptian
but
god
set. Nothing to give. Like there's no dialogue for him. It's poor dialogue.
It's poor dialogue. But okay. he's delivering it with a Scottish accent as an Egyptian god, and it's amazing. And there's scenes where he like pulls up in like a chariot that's dragged by two scarabs, and again. That's the kind of thing where I should say that, and you think that's a great movie right there because it's hilarious.
It sounds like the Scorpion King.
It's See, Scorpion King's kind of the same, where it's like, I feel like that movie's it's almost good enough to be fun bad, but not quite there. That's what Gods of Egypt is, and it's a shame, because there's a lot of potential for it to, like, between the world and the actors that are, like, just so hammy and over the top, you want to like it for how bad it is, but it's not, like, there yet. I can't say the same, like, something like, for instance, I know, Mark, one of your favorite movies is The Fifth Element, and I love The Fifth Element. I don't consider that fun bad, though. I think that there's a lot of cleverness in that movie amidst all the kind of visual chaos that's going on, because Luc Besson's he's a solid director, at least back in the 90s he was. And this movie, it just
doesn't... The family was hilarious. What are you talking about?
It just doesn't do it, Gods of Egypt. It doesn't get there, which is a shame to an extent. For as far as like an original blockbuster goes, it would be nice if one of these would be good once in a while, but yeah, well, yeah.
I'm a bummer because the production budget was pretty high.
Production budget, yeah, $140 million. That said, Lionsgate, the distributing company, only paid 10, so like they'll be basically fine. That's still a lot of other money that's not being made up, though.
Yeah.
One that opened in, like, what, third place? Third place with $14 million or something like that?
That's correct, yeah.
But yeah, all right. That's it, quickies.
Yep.
So yeah, we're going to cut things a little bit short here. We're just going to drive straight to kind of some of the end stuff here. Let's do a little out and out. Actually, no, wait, hold on.
Oh, we had a contest, Abe. I'm holding. Oh, right.
We had an Oscar contest.
That is right. We purposely left you guys hanging on the edge of your seats because we remembered all along, actually.
Yeah.
Somebody won.
Somebody did win. And thankfully, somebody won because they didn't stick to what the preordained things were for the winners. Because everyone that emailed in pretty much picked what everyone expected to happen. Which was Revenant, Leo, Larson, Stallone, Vikander. Only one person emerged not choosing Revenant for Best Picture, and it was Manish Mather. He picked Spotlight, and he even says holding out hope for it for Best Picture. And while everyone else that entered pretty much tied, mild upsets here or there with Stallone as the key choice, but Manish picked the Best Picture winner. Which means that he was the one that got the closest right for having everything. So congratulations to Manish.
Congratulations, Manish.
Yeah.
Woo. Did we check the timestamp? Did he send it after the awards were over?
No, he sent it in before.
Just kidding.
Yeah. But yeah, well, we're probably listening to this, but I probably emailed you already as far as getting your information up. But yeah, we're going to send you a Blu-ray prize package because you are a winner. So yeah, good job.
Congratulations, sir.
All right. Now, with that out of the way, congratulations once again. And thanks to everybody for playing. It's always fun to do little contests, and we're gonna have more this year. I promise you that.
Hashtag promise.
Hashtag. Thank you. But yeah, let's do what that presents. What's out now? These are movies that are coming out on Blu-ray and DVD this week, and got a good set here for the most part. First, we have Creed.
Yeah, go see it.
I loved it. Room.
Yes, definitely go see
another
it.
Another fantastic film. Legend. This was the Tom Hardy film, which starred Tom Hardy and Tom Hardy.
Heard mixed things. Anything you want to add?
Tom Hardy's very good in it.
Okay.
But the film kind of trails a lot. Mark, I believe you saw it as well, right?
Which one?
Legend. Tom Hardy.
Yes. I thought that Tom Hardy actually was very good in the movie, although the movie itself, I wasn't crazy about it.
Okay.
Let's see. The Night Before?
Michael Shannon's great in it.
He is great in it. I wish it was darker. That was my main complaint. I wish it was a darker
film. I wish it focused a little bit more on the three friends.
The Danish Girl.
Yeah, see it. Really nice.
Academy Award winner, Alicia Vikander.
There you go.
Not for production design or costume design. and Youth.
I haven't seen it, but you guys seem to like it, okay?
Mark hates it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it. I think Kane and Keitel are very good in it. I would say that.
The wolf himself.
The wolf himself. Yeah. okay, next week's show. Next week, we have Zootopia and London Has Fallen coming.
That's correct. Yeah, I think it's going to be a double feature.
Yeah, I guess so. That'll be the way to go. And yeah, with that out of the way, I think that's going to do it for this week's episode. You can find more of my work at the... at my personal blog, thecodeiseek.com. You can find my written movie reviews there. You can find me in Weiss of Blue for Blu-ray reviews. You can also find me on Twitter at Aaron's PS4. Abe?
You can find more of Mark Hoban's work over at fastfilmreviews.com. And you can follow me at twitter.com/
I was like, oh, thank you for the shout out.
Yeah.
Mark?
Twitter.com/ Walrus News hashtag Michael Keaton.
Mark? What?
Mark, you up.
Well, I mean, Abe kind of said it. I write for fastfilmreviews.com, and then you can also follow me on Twitter, Mark_Hoban.
Anna?
You can follow me on Twitter at Right to Recite.
You can find all the other episodes of Out Now with Aaron and Abe on iTunes and Audioboom, as well as on Stitcher.
You can also listen to our old episodes over at SoundCloud, HHWLED, and what's the last one? I forget, because I'm not looking at the document. There's one more. Audioboom. No, I don't know. Bear with me for 2 seconds while I pull this up in 35 seconds. I'm sorry, listeners, but it is Podomatic.
There you go. I knew it. I just wanted to see if you get it.
I do. I know that you're holding out.
I thought about jumping in, but I didn't want to.
Feel free to email us at outnowpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on the Oscar ceremony in general and your thoughts on, you know, everything that went down tonight.
Interact with us over at facebook.com/outnowpodcast or tweet at us at twitter.com/outnow_podcast.
Post plenty of gifs about Abe eating a lozenge over at outnowpodcast.tumblr.com.
And, yeah. Or Leo winning an Oscar. That'd be great.
Yeah. And okay, so thank you, Mark, for jumping in after your Oscar party, and Anna for joining us as well.
Oh, thank you. It was fun.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, and until next week when we see how the animals deal with London being, you know, fallen, that's going to do it for this week. So long.
And goodbye.